D2, number 12A.
I have said that you have been very wonderful scientists with me, and this evening I invite you to be also good Christians with me. If I should say things which touch on taboos, just think, well, he had a sunstroke lately. And please forgive me. Because to be a scientist and a Christian, Mrs. Eddy says, are the big two terms in Christian Science. And as we still take Mrs. Eddy as authority, I think we have to accept that. Because I read that just after I thought the two biggest terms are principle and idea. So, as being is a sphere, everything always sometimes is top. Every point of the sphere, according to the standpoint once a while, is top. If we approach the one infinite being, I think to be a Christian and a scientist are the two biggest terms. But if we look at being as we do today, namely from the point of view of what the infinite one is, I feel that the two most important terms are principle and idea. From the infinite one comes one principle and its infinite idea. Quote from Mrs. Eddy. So it always depends from which angle we look. This helps us to be not so dogmatic as religionists like to be. That they say, Mrs. Eddy said this and this and this, and so it is for eternity, no matter if that has been from a different standpoint. We were considering the first of these two big terms, principle, including all the other synonymous terms, by looking at the chart from the point of view of principle. This evening, I want to look at the term idea. Both the term principle and idea do not come from the Judean Christian stream of thought, but from the scientific stream of thought in the Western world. The term idea is an important term if we read the textbook. Only looked at it merely statistically, that term appears about 200 times in the singular, and about 70 or 80 times in the plural, therefore about 300 times in the textbook of 600 pages. It is a term that is most important. It is a term that is connected with principle, and principle and idea together is being. Now, the standpoint of being, of the oneness of being, has been seen right back in the Christian Science movement during the First World War by two men, Bicknell Young and John Dorley, apparently both independent of each other. But the concept of the oneness of being has been attached solely to Bicknell Young because he devoted all his life afterwards to bring out this oneness. And reading his papers and addresses and lectures, one can see that he doesn't use very much the term idea. Nor do his followers or the young school. They only use occasionally the term idea in a way that just happened because they are used from the textbook to speak about the idea without really saying what they mean with idea. On the other hand, John Dorley, right from the beginning when he began to see that being is one, he felt that he must know that one through its idea. And so, though his thought was always staying with the oneness of being and was teaching and lecturing from that standpoint and thinking from that standpoint, his main interest focused on the term, how can the infinite be explained through its ideas? And really only slowly, gently, step by step, something evolved which brought him to the point of investigating the textbook in regard to ideas. We know that shortly before the Second World War, he began to consider the synonymous terms because he could see that very definitely from the text of the textbook that ideas are emanations from mind. Therefore, that ideas come from the synonymous terms. And so he reasoned that as ideas come from the synonymous terms, through investigating those synonymous terms, we would find out what the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love are. In investigating that, we were finding out that mind would be characterized by definite ideas of mind, such as law, power, action, intelligence. And we said, these are the ideas of mind. And we made a big list, and the bigger it could be made, the better we felt we were gathering what are the ideas of mind. Was that right? This I question. We said afterwards, power is an idea of mind, didn't we? Intelligence is an idea of mind. Action is an idea of mind. And I would like to question that. I don't like to give a definite answer, but I would like to question that whole work which we have been doing for many, many years. You say to me, but Max, are you a fool? How can you say such a thing? And I say to you, because I find no textual confirmation in the textbook. There is not a single statement in the textbook which says that any of those ideas which we had found out as ideas of the various synonymous terms are ideas. There is not one statement that says that power is idea, that intelligence is idea. He says that intelligence is a quality of mind, yes. That understanding is a quality of mind, yes. So, don't be cross with me if I question something which I can't find at once in the text. You say to me, but when we were doing that work, we were going out from what Mrs. Eddy said, that reasoning from cause to effect in the science of mind, mind must be understood through the ideas which characterize mind. Isn't that so? We made an awful mistake in reading that sentence. We put it into the plural, but it is in the singular idea. It says reasoning from cause to effect in the science of mind, we start with mind, which must be understood through the idea which characterizes man, not through the ideas. And so we were thinking that if we study mind all through the textbook and finding out what is specific about mind, which is differentiating between this and what is characterizing spirit, that which differentiates those synonymous terms were ideas. But that's our conclusion. It's not in the book, as far as I see it. I think we can say, and please take everything as it would be in the going, in the development, in the birth. What we can say is, yes, that these terms, these qualities, are characterizing the nature of mind and differentiating mind from spirit, because spirit is brought out through other characteristics. But to say that these are ideas of mind, for that we have no textual confirmation. Now, I have been devoting 30 years on this, and suddenly finding out that I have to question it, and finding out that something must be corrected, or that something must be enlarged. Just as Newton's law was right in its place, but the moment it has been applied to another realm, it failed. It was not big enough, it was not large enough. Mrs. Eddy, as I say, or the textbook doesn't say power is an idea of mind, intelligence is an idea of mind. She speaks usually only of the idea of mind, of spirit, of the synonymous term. Here and there about the idea of spiritual power, the idea of immortality, and perhaps one or the other, the idea of scientific healing. Else, it's always usually combined with the synonymous term, the idea of life, the idea of truth, the idea of love. Even there, where it is combined with, say, the idea of immortality, that doesn't say that immortality is idea. Because if I say that Braunwald is beautiful, that doesn't say that beautiful is Braunwald. Therefore, we can see that an idea has power, has substance, has action, has immortality, has intelligence. But that doesn't make those terms like action, law, intelligence, idea. What then is Mrs. Eddy meaning with idea and ideas? She only has one definition of idea, and says idea is an image in mind, capitalized mind. An image which mind has about itself is certainly bigger than power, intelligence, action, guidance, leading. The image that mind has about itself is a whole image. Therefore, I think what we have been doing is that we have been anatomizing mind, and feeling that if we have a lot of ideas of mind which we can express through these terms, like action, law, power, intelligence, and so on, that these together compound our mind. That's how we were working. And it was a very useful working hypothesis. We got somewhere with it. But in science, you always come somehow to a point where you find out that that working hypothesis has been all right up to a point, and then you have to rectify it or to enlarge it. It is quite interesting that those back in Greece who began to see for the first time about idea as an image, as the original image, were soon calling it, Aristotle soon after Plato named it, that idea is atom, the smallest part that can no more be split up. And we had perhaps in our thinking also that atomistic sense of idea, that all these what we called ideas, all together, woven together, make up mind. But only today, in the logical world and scientific world, one begins to realize the right and the wrong questions which have been put and on which Western civilization has been living for 2,500 years quite successfully. It has been living on that assumption of that atomic sense of being, that the whole is not bigger than the sum of its part. But today everybody knows that the whole is much, 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 much bigger than the sum of its parts. You can easily see that. You take 100 people isolated, each one living by himself, somewhere up in the mountains in the chalet, and you take the very same 100 people and put them together into a community, you have something very different. You have envy, strife, relationship, quarrel, fear, hate, and so on. The moment things come together, then the sum is much bigger than just the compound. Because the moment single ideas come together, or single natures or qualities or whatever they will be called, I don't know, something much bigger arises. And that much bigger, I think, that's idea. That is idea. And therefore we can see that quite naturally, innately, without the textbook telling us, we are somehow right from the start going along that way, that we felt an idea like power, well, we still call that way, and I guess I'm going to teach that for another I don't know how many years, because it's a wonderful working hypothesis to introduce the science of being, that the moment we began to have these atomized sense of idea like power, we said, but they must blend, and we brought them together and began to blend this idea, and so they can be blended infinitely. And so slowly we put them together as a system. Then slowly began to see that these ideas not only blend, that they also reflect the four, and we got the sense of structure. We were very happy at that point where we began to see man is an idea. Actually, he's idea. He's not an idea. He's idea. We are very happy at that point with that hypothesis, that we are not a mortal, that we are an idea. But we are not an idea. Textbook never says we are an idea. It always says man is a idea. It's the idea of God. Then we began to see that by blending these ideas, we could see that we are a system of ideas, the compound idea man. That's jolly nice. All these ideas together is man, the compound idea man. But the compound idea man is something much bigger than what we are thinking it would be in this way. Then we went further and saw that that compound idea has a calculus. And so I remember a few years ago we were very happy to say, I'm a calculus. I'm a calculus of ideas. Still, it's too small. It's not yet the idea of God. It's not yet the full image of mind. Because mind cannot be reflected as an image which is just an atomized part. An idea is not just a dot in the infinite, just a little point in the infinite. An idea is the image of mind capitalized, enormously big. And so today I feel we are nearing to the true concept of idea and ideas by seeing them as that cybernetic sense of idea, namely the whole chart as idea, the whole chart as a self-organizing, self-rectifying, self-error-eliminating, self-error-correcting system or structure of being. Now, can we see that this may be true in the textbook? So let the textbook speak for a while. This is always best authority for us. The thing is, which each one of us can answer for himself, because I don't know it, but each one of us has been given quite a lot of thought to the synonym study, the study of the synonymous term, for the purpose of finding out what are what we call the ideas of mind, the ideas of spirit, and making that list. So we have taken the concordance and have taken all the synonymous terms. Has anyone who is here taken the concordance and has looked up what she says about idea itself? What she says about idea itself? Weren't we just assuming a method which perhaps is not in the textbook? If we take the textbook itself and let the textbook speak, then the sense of idea which she gives is much bigger. Starting out from the definition which she gives, that idea is an image in mind, taking the right reading of that wonderful statement which I have quoted, that reasoning from cause to effect in the science of mind, we start with mind, which must be understood through the idea which expresses it, through the idea of mind, not through an idea, which we call power or law, but the idea of mind. And mind, to repeat it again, is the whole. It stands for the whole. So idea must reflect the whole. I must have the nature of the whole. So, if we look up further, what may be the great statements, what she says, what idea is, she says, Christ is the divine idea of God. Christ. Over and over, in various ways and forms, there she says, that's the idea of God. And Jesus, she said, represented this idea of God. He was the representative of it. And also, she takes man as God's spiritual idea. That's idea. And besides that, we will hardly find anything what she says in a big way what the idea is. The Christ man. But what is that Christ man? Well, the Christ is something very dynamic. So, analyzing it further, all those statements which she makes, she goes out from its principle and says that all that really exists is God and his idea, in the singular. God and his ideas. Here and there comes in a statement, God and his ideas. But what she says is that this is constituting reality and eternal reality. So we feel, oh, therefore we see that principle and idea are those important terms because they depict reality at its highest level. She speaks that mind and its idea is all, All is mind and mind's idea. It's all. Cannot be an atomized sense of being. All. All is divine mind, or God and his idea. God and his idea is all-inclusive. It's the all in all. See, we get the sense, she had a sense of idea as always the all-inclusiveness of reality. He speaks about mind and its idea as the only reality. As all that exists, really exists, is the divine mind and its idea. Always when she brings somehow in principle and idea, God and its idea, mind and its idea, that relationship of the synonymous term and its idea, it's always the all existence of reality. Ungodliness, he defines as opposition to the divine principle and its spiritual idea. Now, this is, I think, what we accepted and saw, but we must see that idea is always the idea of the whole. What has this idea as operational office? Suddenly we begin to see that idea is that which deals with all levels of science. He says, truth idea. Well, truth idea. I cannot figure out truth ideas to be smaller than the whole image of truth. Truth idea is gathering beneath its wing the sick and the sinning. The idea has to do with the sick and the sinning. It has its effect on the sick and the sinning. You can see how she deals with idea on the level of Christian Science as that which is the saving element of sin, sickness and death, of concrete error. The spiritual true idea of God comes now, healing the sick, casting out evils. Well, naturally, we always have said that ideas dissolve illusion. But now we begin to realize that that was idea on the level of Christian Science. But that is not the only level. She speaks about the spiritual idea removes properly whatever is offensive. You see, I've given you just a few passages taken from the textbook showing the function of idea on the level of absolute, on the level of Christian Science. She speaks of the working of the spiritual idea as healing the sick and the sinning. The idea bruises the head of lust. All this is showing that idea includes within itself a functional sense or a correcting sense in regard to error.